very, very happy Christmas to all of you, and also to all of you guys who are watching online. I hope you're going to have a fantastic day. It's my pleasure to introduce somebody I know quite well, actually. Mrs. W, Chloe, is going to be bringing our message today. Let's give her a cheer. Well done.
Okay, so just a story. We're going to be finishing our series today about looking into and asking the questions of, are these things just a story? Just a man, just a baby, just a boy, just a story? Who is this Jesus that we talk about? So, I don't know about you, but if you have a favorite story, but chances are you might, but my dad was like the best storyteller. And he used to do all the voices, all the characters. You could just imagine everything as he was speaking. And we remember them very often. And often they had like a moral at the ending. His favorite type were the, like the tales, and then there'd be like a something to learn at the end. So that was kind of my upbringing. And one of the stories I wanted to share with you today was about a very naughty boy, a very lazy and naughty boy. I'm sure there are no naughty, lazy boys here today. But if there are, just take note. So he went out, and it was in the olden days, as all good stories are. And people used to walk around with no shoes on. So he thought one day, oh, it'd be really funny to plant a hedge across the road so people got their feet prickled as the thorns grew up. So he planted them, and 3 days later, sure enough, the plant grew up and the prickles all came along. And people would walk across like, ooh, ow, ooh, as they went to market. And he thought that was really funny. But the mayor of the town was not impressed. And so he asked them to dig it up. And he said, yeah, okay, I will. But I'm quite busy, I'll do it tomorrow. Okay, but you better do it. So tomorrow came and went. A week came and went, and it was always came the answer when the mayor asked, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. But he never did. And so about 6 months later, when the hedge was no longer a little prickle, it was 6 feet high, because it was a fast-growing hedge. And then the mayor said, right, that's it. People can't get to market anymore. You have to do it today. And it was back-breaking work. He got the spade out, and he was digging for hours and hours and days, and it took 3.5 days to dig up the hedge. But he had to, else he would go to prison. So he dug it all up. The moral of that story was, if he'd done it straight away, it would have taken 30 minutes to pick it out. But he didn't. He procrastinated. And he put it off and put it off. And what could have taken a few minutes, 30 minutes, took 3.5 days. And the moral of the story is, don't put off what you can do today. Do it today. Get the job done. Don't delay. So that was one of the things, parents, take notes. My dad is an excellent storyteller. I couldn't help but think that when he was telling me the story when I was like 5 or 6, he was talking about my bedroom and that it might need to be a little bit tidier. But I think that was probably what he was on about. As you know, we've got 3 boys, and well, 2 men and 1 boy for a few more months. And as they were growing up, we told them lots of stories as well. But as they got a little bit smarter, the traditional tales, they used to predict the end, and they used to know what was coming. Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. It happens like this, which was no fun for the youngest one. So we developed this story with a twist. So we used to tell traditional tales, and then we would change the ending, and it would be a story with a twist. One of our favorite ones was The Elves and the Shoemaker, where the twist was that the elves set up a Ponzi scheme and stole all the leather from the shoemaker. Our own lives form a unique story too. Our eldest son, George, was born almost 22 years ago, and he's just started his new job as an assistant pastor in a church nearby. And as I watch him go into ministry this year, I find myself identifying with Mary this year and just thinking, oh, I can begin to understand just a little bit of what she may have been going through as she watched her boy to a man, to a teacher, going out into the world. And just like me, George must have watched him, Mary must have watched her son grow. And I feel like Mary had a lot less answering back as well. Although we do see that in the wedding at Cana, don't we? Of like, mother, my time is not yet. But we do see that a little bit. As all mums, we have hopes, we have dreams. We have feelings and we have thoughts of what our children might become. And we treasure those in our heart, just like Mary, don't we, mums? When George was born, I had visitors. I had Nick, he was the first visitor, and which was good. And then on the second day, my mum came to visit, which was great, and a relief to see her, which was good. And then a few days later, we had quite a few friends and some more family around. And one of those friends bought some gifts, a lady called Wendy. And she came, and she'd been to Morrison's, and they'd had one of those buy one, get one free sales, you know? So she'd bought one, and she'd got one free. She was from Lancashire. She'd buy one, and I get one free. And I bought another one, and I got one free. So I brought all the free stuff, and I brought it to you. But rather than gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it was milk, bread, and fish fingers. But, you know, I was really grateful. I was very grateful. I've noticed there's all kinds of different stories. Some stories are fiction. They're completely made up. And yet the characters and the feelings come across as very real. Nick and I, last week on an afternoon, we watched Pride and Prejudice. Anyone else? Jane Austen? No? Yeah, yeah. And we got into it, and it was a classic story about women in the olden days and how they were all married off and what happens and all the thoughts and feelings that go along with that. But in that story, nothing's actually factually true. There's nothing actually factually true, but the truths in the story are relevant and meaningful to the time. So they replicate the time that people were going through and living through. But not all made-up stories are to be ignored. Just because they're made up doesn't mean we should ignore them. In fact, Jesus spoke in parables, didn't he? And they were made-up stories, but they had some great and deep teaching and truths in them. Some stories, on the other hand, are not fiction. They are factually true. They are not made up, and they really happened. And sometimes they present bad news. They bring us facts we wish were not true, but sadly they are. You only have to watch the news at the moment, don't you, to see some truths which we don't want to see, but they are true, and we have to look at them. But other stories are true and present us with good news. And the story of Christmas is one of these. It's a true story, and it makes all the difference to the world. The story of Jesus is true and must be told. But I'm going to need a little bit of help. So I have 11 people. And I don't want to start picking people out, but come on, Jason. Come on, Fitz. You know you want to. We can't have a drama without Fitz. Come on, Fitz. Anybody else? Linford, come on. Now, has anyone ever wanted to play Mary and never got the chance? Come on. Yeah, come on. Out you come. Anybody else? Yep. No? Yeah? Come on, Elise. Anybody else? How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Come on, Kevin. You didn't get that degree for nothing. Right, who wanted to be Mary? Was it you? There you go, Mary. So we'll just get Nick to hand them out. Ah, some fulfillment of some dreams is happening right now. So we find these stories in the New Testament, in Matthew and Luke, in chapters 1 and 2. but we're just going to look at the characters, and I'm going to interview some of them to find out what happened. So first of all, can we have the angel? So the angel. Okay, behave. So the angel, what happened to the angel? What did the angel say at Christmas to Mary? Do you know? Do you want to tell me?
I know to be a mermaid when my mummy and daddy is a super mermaid.
Oh. Ellie, that's great. I love what you've been teaching these kids. So the angel told the people, Mary and Joseph, not to be afraid, but that she was going to have a baby. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. So then let's go to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, not just for Pentecost people. What did the Holy Spirit do in this Christmas story?
The Holy Spirit created the baby Jesus within Mary's womb.
That's right. Well done, Kev. Mary, next Mary. Mary, what did you know? Did you know, Mary?
Yeah, I don't know.
What happened to Mary in the story?
An angel appeared and said that I was going to have a baby boy. And I was like, I got to get the milk bottles and I got to get the groceries before I go to Bethlehem. The shops are probably all full.
Yeah, because the shops, they get really busy at Christmas, don't they? Yeah. Oh, Mary, but slightly Abigail in there as well, I think. Yeah. Joseph, where are you? Joseph. What is your role in all this, Joseph?
I'm just very obedient, and I do what the Lord asked me to do.
That's right. Well done, Fitz. Caesar Augustus, what did you do? Do we remember Caesar in the story? What did he do?
We do, don't we? He made a census, didn't he? And that caused Mary and Joseph to have to travel to a different land.
That's right. He got all the people who were good at maths and got them all together, and he counted exactly how many people were in the land at the time to cause a census. Innkeeper, it's your moment. Innkeeper, what did you do? You were just so happy and joyous, just going about your day. What did you do in the Christmas story?
I turned them away and said, there's no room, unfortunately. There's a good reason why there was no room.
Was it because there was a census?
No, we were decorating.
But did you find somewhere else for them to go?
No, we did check on all of the available websites and things, but there wasn't anything showing, so unfortunately not, sorry.
Oh, so they made do with a stable. Oh, shepherds. Shepherds, what did you do in the story?
I saw the angels, and then they told us, and then we followed the star to Beth.
Were you scared when you saw the angels?
Yeah, of course I was.
It's wow.
Scary. I've never seen an angel.
Wow. And how did you know where to go?
Because there was a star and I followed it.
Very good, very good. Did you take your sheep with you?
Yeah.
Good, good shepherd. Good shepherd right there. Star. Let's go to the star. The star in our story. What did you do, Star?
Well, it was a normal day, and then I just started shining.
That's great. That's really all you had to do. And you did it really, really well. The shepherds would agree, wouldn't they? Yeah. Now, wise men. Wise men. You represent all of them, all three of them. What did you do?
I went and saw the baby by following the star.
Well done. And did you take... Well done. And did you take anything with you? Maybe some fish fingers or some milk or bread? No?
I took the gold, frankincense and myrrh, and I took the camels too.
And you took camels too? Very wise, very wise. Now, there's some unexpected people here as well that you might not have thought. Herod, what did you do?
All right. three wise men came to see me about this new king. So obviously, there can't be a new king on my patch. So I secretly sent them to find out where the new king was. And then I was going to follow them and send my spies to kill him. But then they didn't listen and they ran away a different way and they didn't tell me where they went. So
Yes.
You know, as you do. We all make mistakes, people. Kind of ordered the execution of all the boys aged 3 and under in the whole of Judea.
Wow. But wait, there is another. Now, we don't hear a lot about this, do we? We look at all the good parts of the story, but actually, what did you do in the Nativity?
I strolled around accusing people and tempting people and inciting horribleness.
Wow. So did you prowl around like a lion, looking for someone to destroy?
I did.
But did you succeed?
Well, Herod's a bit of a failure because he didn't quite get the target that I needed. I incited Herod, but he didn't do his job, did he?
Are you blaming others?
Always blaming others. That's my middle name, blame.
So there we have a rather different version of the Nativity, but with all of the characters. Please give them a hand. Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys. That was great. So, let's round off our Christmas series. We had, on the beginning of December, we had Greg looking at, well, was Jesus just a baby? Nick brought a message asking the question, was Jesus just a boy? We had Dr. John Andrews asking, was Jesus just a man? And then yesterday, we had Nick asking, was Jesus just a king, just any old king? My message today asks the question, is it just a story? Well, it is a story, but it's a true story. It's his story, and it makes history. It is so important that we share the true story of Christmas around this time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all thought of Jesus as extremely important. My Bible passage today is quite short, but it says everything about why it is important that we tell the story of Jesus. So from Luke 1, verses 1-4, many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us. Just as the ordinary eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us, so it also seemed good to me, since I carefully investigated everything from the very first to write to you in an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. Luke wants his friend Theophilus and also us to be certain about the story of Jesus. Now you may think, oh, well, that's easy. We all know the story of Jesus, don't we? It happens every year. Same time, same place, happens. No. We had a primary school in a few weeks ago, and Ellie and I got the privilege to share the Christmas story with them. At the beginning, as they came into, we had them go around different rooms, and at the beginning, as they came into my room, I asked them, what do you know? Tell me what you know about the Christmas story. Nothing. They knew nothing. Now, that's not a terrible thing on them or their parents or the school. I don't mean that. Please don't think that. But we know the story. We need to tell the story. So Ellie magnificently told the story. I told the story. They now know the story of Jesus at Christmas time. We have people right here in BCC who have lived under oppressive regimes in China and Iran, just to name a few, where they don't allow the Christmas story to be told in such a public way. Here in the UK, we have all this freedom. But I was looking at the TV this afternoon, and on Christmas Day today, BBC One, this afternoon, we're showing Toy Story 4, and on BBC Two, it's Death on the Nile. Where is the Christmas story? We have the most important true story of all to share, so let's tell the story. There's no deep theological insights here. There's no reimagining. There's no story with a twist at the end. There's just this raw power of the original, true story of Jesus at Christmas time. The truth is, Jesus was a baby, but no ordinary baby. Jesus was a boy, but no ordinary boy. Jesus was a man, but no ordinary man. And Jesus was a king, but no ordinary king. Jesus is the living word, who is alive today, and he invites you to follow him. Should you wish to follow him today, do so. Don't waste a moment. If you're visiting with us today and or watching online for the first time and you know nothing about Jesus and you want to find out more, come and ask us. We want to tell you. We want you to have the same opportunity that we've had to make a free choice, to make a choice to follow Jesus. Responding to the greatest true story ever told can completely change your life. It has done mine. In fact, you can rewrite your story by responding to his story.